to his left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Tipped away and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He'll lay up. Score!
Jones. Watford for the win.
Yes!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
What's up, everyone? Greg Rosenstein here, as always, joined by Matt Dollinger, podcast on the Brink. We got another big show for you today. Matt, how's it going?
It's going well. Happy signing day to you.
Yes, it's a big day for Indiana fans. 2013 class signing today.
Yeah, we got, I think almost everyone is supposed to sign today. Colin Hartman, Devin Davis, Luke Fisher, Stanford Robinson. I think Troy Williams is signing on Monday, and also Noah Vonley, the newest recruit to IU's class, who we're definitely going to talk about today. We're having Inside the Halls Alex Bozich on. I think you guys are pretty familiar with him, and you know, looking forward to talking about recruiting. Greg, what do you think, you know, kind of overall about this class? It's pretty crazy some of the people Tom Crean's been able to sign.
Yeah, it's definitely a great class. I think, you know, even a few months ago, people were saying, oh, 2013, it won't compare to 2012, it won't even be close. You know, now they got Noah Vonley, who's a top 10 recruit. You know, Stanford Robinson is now at Findlay Prep. He could play the one or the two. He's a top 60 guy. You know, Troy Williams is a high flyer. You know, he brings a lot of energy. Plus, you know, the other guys that were committed, you know, the last year or two, you know, it's a pretty complete class. It might even stack up to what 2012 is.
Yeah, it's really amazing the ripple effect IU's had right now of, you know, originally landing Cody Zeller, and now after last season's success, they're number one in the country, and now that they're number one in the country, they're able to, you know, reel in recruits like Troy Williams and Noah Vonley, and it's really, you know, not like a breaking news story. The world, you know, the IU world doesn't stop when these guys are signed, and these are blue chip players that, you know, we would have been talking about for months if it had happened a year or two ago, but now it's just, oh yeah, another feather in IU's cap.
Right. I mean, you got to give credit to Crean, but I think you also got to give a lot of credit to Kenny Johnson, the new IU assistant. You know, he came over, and I think a lot of people thought the reason they hired him was largely based around, you know, being able to recruit DC area guys, and it's really proved true and more because he's kind of been all over the East Coast. You know, Noah Vonley is from up north, and then you got Troy Williams in Southern Virginia, and you know, you're getting products from DC. I think like Kenny Williams is coming in, and he's really taken recruiting to another notch. And now you got to think, oh, now once they're number one, and once they start winning games, you're probably gonna get your pick of almost anybody.
It's a good life to live, and you know, good problem to have, which is what the Hoosiers have now, and that they have to, you know, find some scholarships for next season. I read in Dustin's article today that they're going to have to clear up three scholarships. You know, three players are either going to have to go to the NBA or transfer or one thing or another. And, you know, I think that's extra motivation for the players in practice. You might be playing for right. Next season.
And you come in this, you know, you came into signing day, and I think, you know, a week ago I was even thinking, oh, they can only sign four guys in the early period. Then you could sign the other two guys in the late period. Who would be where? But you know, I know Alex talked to someone with the Big Ten who kind of looked more into this, and I guess you could sign all six of them as long as you say, oh, these spots are going to be open. You don't even have to specify who, but I think as long as you say, oh, well, Cody Zeller is not going to be here next year, or we anticipate someone else not being here, you could get all six, which is kind of surprising because they originally only said, oh, you can only oversign by one. But yeah, it's interesting that they're able to get all six, but I think in the end it's probably a good move.
I would love to, you know, be able to be a fly on that wall, on Tom Crean's wall for that conversation when he tells the NCAA or the Big Ten how his scholarship situation is going to break down.
Have you read these? Have you read, like, the message boards? People, every time someone commits. So who's out? Who's transferring? Who's going to the NBA? I mean, I'm having the same issue. I keep, you know, going down the list of scenarios, but in the end, these things always somehow work out. And, you know, who knows, Victor might have a big year and he might be able to go pro, or Maurice Creek, he might not get his fifth year of eligibility. They might just say after this year, he's gone. Cody Zeller's gone. You never know how things work. So it'll all work out somehow, but it's a good question about how it actually will.
Well, we'll talk to Bozich a little bit more about that later. I'm sure he's definitely got an opinion on that. But first, you know, Greg, I know you've got a big trip coming up next week. Where are you headed?
I will be going to Brooklyn with Ryan Carrazza. Both of us are going to be covering the Legends Classic for Inside the Hall. I'm not sure exactly what our duties are, but it'll be interesting to see because, you know, you're looking at Indiana. They look really good right now, but they're playing not so great competition. But once you get to Brooklyn, you're going to be playing Georgia, who did lose this week, but they're still a major conference team, and then either Georgetown or UCLA. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how they do in that two-game tournament up in Brooklyn.
How much are you pulling for the IU-Georgetown matchup?
Full disclosure, I did kind of root for Georgetown growing up, but I do kind of want to see Georgetown play Indiana. I think it'll be an interesting test, especially going against, you know, the Princeton offense, seeing how they do against that. But in the end, I think maybe UCLA would be more of a test. I saw Shabazz Muhammad. I know he's been out, but I know Kyle Anderson, you know, he hurt his wrist, I think, this morning was the news.
Yeah.
Not play. I don't know. They might be playing a depleted UCLA team, which doesn't really tell you as much. So I kind of hope all their guys are healthy and ready to go. And I might prefer a UCLA-Indiana matchup.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to watching IU play against some real talent. I mean, not that Sam Houston State on Thursday night doesn't get me excited, but after watching, you know, I think it was the Champions Classic last night with Duke, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Kansas playing each other. I mean, those games had a real Final Four vibe to them, even though, you know, those aren't exactly, you know, polished teams at this point. You know, Calipari said a couple times his Kentucky team is definitely a November team, not a March team right now. But, you know, seeing those guys go at it makes me want to see IU, you know, in action as well and see kind of how they stack up against, you know, some of the best teams in the country. So that should be good. Are you looking forward to going to the Barclays Center? That's definitely got to be one of the perks of the trip.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really nice. I mean, obviously I've never been there, but, you know, it's kind of strange sometimes being in an NBA arena, getting college teams there. But at the same time, I think I've talked to a lot of friends of my own from Indiana that are going to the game. So I think it'll probably be a packed house. You know, there's a lot of Indiana grads on the East Coast, especially in New York. So I think they're going to pack that. Probably same with Georgetown, but, you know, Georgetown doesn't necessarily have the numbers that maybe Indiana does. You know, the only thing I'm worried about is Tuesday night. I think the game's at 10 o'clock if they win. So ooh. I won't leave until 1 a.m. or something. And, you know, I'm like a 5'5 white guy leaving Brooklyn in the middle of the night. And so I probably should bring some, you know, like a bat or something.
You should be more worried about getting your story in on time to the IDS that night. That sounds like a pretty late deadline.
Yeah. Fortunately, we now work for a website. So there's no doubt.
Well, hey, let's talk about, you know, the first two games before we bring Alex on. Both of them were obviously pretty big blowouts. Monday's 87-61 win over North Dakota State was a little close at first, but later IU's talent kind of took over. What's been most impressive to you so far in these first two games?
Well, I think this was expected, but Cody Zoeller is almost unstoppable. I mean, how do you really stop him? I know they haven't, you know, he's facing front court players that aren't that great, but still, I mean, he's been great in the two games. He's averaging 20 and 9.5 rebounds. You know, he's hitting mid-range shot. He's dunking everything from what I'm watching. I think another thing about Zoeller is, you know, last year problem was this team wasn't able to get him the ball enough or get it to him in the right situations. And, you know, you bring in a guy like Yogi, you could penetrate the lane. And Yogi also, from playing AAU basketball with him, knows his tendencies, knows where he's going to be at. I think they're doing a lot better job of kind of getting Zoeller the ball in the post. And, you know, he's taking care of business. He's almost unstoppable in the, down low right now. Does anyone stand out for you?
Well, Cody's definitely been living up to the magazine covers. Absolutely. He's been playing great. You know, I've been really surprised by the bench as a whole because without Honor and Peter, I really thought that was going to kind of be a weakness for IU. But if anything, it's been one of their biggest strengths. The bench has averaged, I think, 38.5 points per game in the first two games. And, you know, I think everyone realizes Remy Abel stands out above everyone else. He's yet to miss a shot, which, you know, probably won't last, probably. But if it does keep going, he probably will find his way into the starting lineup. And, you know, Hollowell's also been really good right away. I definitely thought that, you know, a couple of the freshmen would probably struggle at first, but him and Yogi have looked good. Maybe it's good that they've kind of had these easier opponents the first few games since, you know, freshmen do play such a prominent role on this team. You don't really want to be playing Duke in your second or third game in. That could be a little bit too early of a test. But, yeah, the bench has been a huge surprise.
As Kentucky knows with Duke.
Well, let's go ahead and take a break. Let's bring Alex on and talk more about signing day and the first couple games of the season. All right, everyone, welcome back to the program. We're now joined by our guest, Alex Bozich of Inside the Halls. Made some time in his busy schedule to come on the program. What's going on, Alex?
Not much, gentlemen. How are you doing on this lovely National Letter of Intent signing day?
We're doing pretty well. You know, we're pretty excited about IU's class. We have talked about the first two games a little bit, but we definitely want to get your impressions on them, and you know, it's good. It's a good time to have an IU podcast. There always seems to be a lot to talk about. Last week it wasn't so positive. This week it is.
I would agree. Well, let's get right to it.
All right. Well, you know, IU's got this six-person 2013 recruiting class. It's obviously gotten a lot better in the last 2 weeks. Overall, what are your kind of impressions of it as a whole?
I agree. I thought it was a solid class before 2 weeks ago. It kind of addressed a couple of needs, particularly with Luke Fisher in the middle. You can never have too many big men, and Stanford Robinson's a very good, as Greg can speak to, guard that can play both positions. But the past 2 weeks with the picking up Troy Williams, who I talked to Dave Tellup of ESPN earlier this week a little bit about Troy, and said that, you know, he's probably one of the two or three best finishers in this class nationally, which is pretty impressive given some of the players that are up near the top of that list. And Noah Vonleh is a kid that I had a chance to watch quite a bit this summer, who I heard a pretty interesting comparison for him the other night, which looking back on it was probably a pretty good one. Somebody at the game that I was talking to compared him to maybe a little bit of a bigger and stronger version of Marvin Williams, who played at North Carolina. So that's definitely he hasn't really gone on to do much in the NBA, but was a very good player in college. And
yeah.
Another interesting thing that kind of I picked up from Tellup on Vonleh was he mentioned that he's probably going to need 2 years in college, so that's going to be good for Indiana as well. Not saying that he's going to stay 2 years because he's obviously an elite talent, but Tellup was just talking about, you know, he's got a lot of room to grow and potential, which is kind of what I saw out of him. Up in Indianapolis, he was a very good player around the basket, but he's also got a lot of guard skills, which is something you don't really find a 6'8 guy having very often. So both, I think, Troy and Noah bring this class from solid to elite, definitely a top five class at this point in the country.
Yeah.
Now
sorry, Greg, I was going to say, you know, when I saw video of Vonleh, I was kind of reminded of Carmelo Anthony a little bit. Obviously, he's not the pure scorer that Melo is, but in terms of his jump shot and his ball handling for a guy who's 6'8", that's who kind of I thought of right away. Sorry, Greg.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, you're looking at this class, and we kind of touched on this earlier. The 2013 class, you know, a year ago was pretty good. You know, they do an okay job filling in, but now it's, you know, a top five class nationally, and a lot of that I feel like is based on Kenny Johnson coming in and doing what he's done. What have you seen out of Kenny? I know you've talked to him a bunch since he's got hired by Indiana, but what kind of separates him from what maybe they had in the past?
Well, I just think that he has a lot of ties to the East Coast as far as AAU goes. I mean, he was definitely a big part of Team Takeover, which is one of the bigger EYBL Nike programs based out of Washington, D.C. And I just think he's a younger guy that can relate to kids, build relationships, and that's a big part of what recruiting is. I mean, if you look at go around the country, every staff's probably going to have a guy or two, maybe even two, that are their primary focus is recruiting. And I think Kenny, obviously, watching him in practice, we got a chance to watch practice earlier this year one day, and he's out there teaching just as much as the other coaches. But I think the big thing that he's bringing right now is the ability to build relationships, and he's well-liked by a lot of kids, and that's favorable for Indiana's recruiting right now and moving into the future. There's a lot of kids that I've talked to that have already talked favorably about Kenny, and that's a positive moving forward.
Do you think the Hoosiers, you know, when they're on the recruiting trail, are, you know, saying something different or doing something differently than maybe they were a year or two ago? Or do you think it's more of, you know, just what they're saying now has a lot more meaning behind it and a lot more substance since, you know, the program has started to turn around?
The message definitely has changed after they've, you know, won games and gotten to the Sweet 16. I mean, now you can say we've done this rather than we're going to do this, which is a big difference, because there was a lot of kids that were taking a chance on Indiana, I guess, given the fact that they hadn't really proved anything. But now they can point to all the national exposure they're getting. I mean, one of the first things they played at Hoosier Hysteria up on the big screen was, and that video was the preseason rankings that had Indiana on top. So that's big for recruiting. And I mean, talking to Telep again the other day, you know, I asked him kind of what's the big difference between Indiana's recruiting now and a couple of years ago, and he said, you know, winning college basketball games is the biggest recipe for being able to recruit well. And I think, as if you know, this is another big season for Indiana. If they're able to advance far in the tournament, even win a national championship, the recruiting could go to even an even higher level.
Now, Valmay is the highest rated recruit Tom Crean's had. Zeller, I think, was top 20 at least, but this is a top 10 player. Do you see him out of the 2013 class having the biggest impact of anybody, or does maybe a Troy Williams or Stanford Robinson, someone like that, kind of come in and maybe have a bigger impact right away?
No, I think Vonleh will have the biggest impact just because he's probably going into he's going to be in a position that's going to be of need for Indiana. That's assuming Cody Zeller goes pro, which obviously we don't know what's going to happen with that, but I would say there's a good likelihood that he would at least look strongly at going pro. And look at what they're going to be losing with Zeller and Watford. Vonleh talked a little bit about after when he made his commitment, him looking to fill that role that Watford has played for the past 4 years. So I definitely think that he's going to have the biggest opportunity to succeed. If you look at the position that Troy Williams and Stanford are going into, there's going to be more competition for playing time, and they may not be able to make as big of an impact because of that reason.
You know, Vonleh did let something slip a little bit in an interview the other day. I wondered if you guys caught this, and I also wondered if it was his, you know, independent thinking or if it was something he'd been told by the coaches. But, you know, I saw in a couple different places he said, you know, he's coming in to replace Watford, he's going to play the four. You know, that's really, you know, what ultimately sold him. But he also said in at least one interview that, you know, with Watford being gone, that's going to be big. But he also said probably Zeller too. So, you know, do you think that maybe that's something that the Hoosier coaches sold him on? Or do you think that's just kind of him putting two and two together?
I can't say specifically if that's something that they sold him on, but it's definitely got to be part of the conversation. I mean, you just look at, I mean, the guy's preseason player of the year in college basketball. He's pretty much a consensus top three on every mock draft you look at. He's on a fast track to getting his degree. I mean, just kind of putting all those pieces together, I don't think it's much of a stretch for anybody to come to the conclusion that there's a good chance that he won't be back next year.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I mean, why not go pro? I just don't see there any reason for him to stick around if he's a top five pick, which he's going to be. But I know Matt has told me that he has sources at the Kelly School of Business that says he's already enrolled in classes and he'll be back. Right, Matt? Is that what he said?
No.
No?
No.
I'm just imagining this.
I know that, you know, education's important to Cody. I think he said that a couple times, and, you know, I think his GPA is already up there from what Crean said and everything. So he's obviously a bright guy, but if you're a bright guy, you also realize that the NBA is a unique opportunity. And, you know, the kind of money that they give you is a lot more than what your degree at IU is going to get you right away.
Yeah, I mean, you go to business school to get a job and make money. He doesn't need to finish it out to go and get money. So,
exactly.
I got a Twitter mention for Inside the Hall, which Bozich, from Cowboy Dan. He says, now that the 13 class is finished, who do you see as the next big IU target for the class of 2014?
As of right now, I would say Dwayne Morgan. He's a 2014 kid out of the Baltimore area. He's going to take his official visit. They changed the rule for the timetable when you can take official visits. Now juniors can take official visits beginning after January 1st of their junior year. So he's going to take his official visit to Indiana in, I believe, early February, potentially for the game day game with Michigan, which what a great time for Indiana to have a guest on campus. But he's already narrowed his list down to six, and most people think that Indiana and Maryland are the top two. He's a top 20 player. I haven't really seen him in person, but I've talked to his AAU coach quite a bit, and the sense that I'm getting is Indiana's either at near the top or at the top at this point, but Maryland's going to be tough to beat as well. And just kind of going down the list of some other guys, Ahmed Hill, who is out of Georgia, is another kid that Indiana's been recruiting strong. Phil Booth out of, I believe it's Washington, D.C. area, is another kid they've recruited pretty tough. So they've got some Trayvon Blewett's another one that they offered early. He's been on campus plenty of times. So there's definitely a lot of guys that they're firmly in the mix with. But right now it seems like Morgan is the one that set up the official visit so far, and they seem to be in pretty good position with him. But I think that as the season goes along, you're going to see some other names pop up. They're going to get involved with other kids. I mean, just looking at how things progressed with Troy Williams and Noah Vonleh last year at this time, nobody was talking about those two names for Indiana, and now all of a sudden they're signing with Indiana. So recruiting is obviously a very fluid situation, so there's plenty of opportunities for them to get involved with other kids, and I'm sure that's what they're going to do.
You know, Greg and I were talking earlier about how the Hoosiers are going to have to free up three scholarships next season to accommodate for the 2013 class. Do you expect, you know, Crean to be just as aggressive in the future, you know, over-signing by one and things like that? Or do you think this is kind of just a one-time occurrence?
No, I mean, going back to this summer, Crean was down at Southern Indiana, in Southern Indiana at Huber's, giving a talk, and people were already, a couple of media members there were already asking him kind of about what was going to happen with the scholarship situation, because back in June, obviously, there was 14 guys for 13 spots, and
right.
Found out that, you know, that Ron Patterson didn't make it academically. But and one of the things that Crean said was roster management is here to stay. So it didn't seem like this was going to be something that was just a one-year thing. I mean, it's something that's going to be looked at every year and kind of addressed every year. So, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is, I guess, with the potential for guys to leave early. You don't want to be caught with a couple of guys leaving early and then not have the 13 scholarship players. So it's one of those situations where it's kind of you sign the best players you can and figure out the numbers later.
Yeah, I love just talking recruiting. You just think, you know, we have a number one team right now, and we're still thinking, oh, who's next in line? Who's going to be there in 2 years from now? It's kind of crazy to think. With that said, let's kind of go back to the first couple games right now. Indiana had pretty easy wins in the first two. What kind of stood out to you when you're looking back at these two games?
Well, I mean, I think they picked up right where they left off offensively from last year. I mean, it's just maybe even more so than last year. I mean, just the sheer amount of options out there. I mean, it didn't really seem like there was really any stretches where you had somebody out there that couldn't get a score or get a bucket. The defense, to me, still a work in progress. But one thing that really has stood out to me is a lot of people have talked about Yogi Ferrell coming from a high school environment where he only played 2-3 zone and how that would translate for him defensively. I actually think he's done pretty well defensively through the first two games. He's done well putting pressure on the ball. He's very quick and doesn't really like to take a lot of chances and just tries to stay in front of his man. So I think that's going to be a pivotal for Indiana shoring up their perimeter defense. I think last year, sometimes with Verdell Jones and Jordan Hulls, you had some situations where they weren't able to contain the perimeter. But I think Yogi, given his strength and kind of quickness and ability to stay in front of the ball, that's going to be key when some of these other contests where you're going to be challenged more in that regard. And then just Cody Zeller, I mean, I've talked about this before kind of on the forum and on the site, just how he's been able to transform his body even more, put on extra weight, and still be as explosive as he is. I think it's pretty amazing for a guy that's 7 foot to be running the floor like that and kind of handling the ball a little bit, stepping out and hitting jump shots. So definitely excited to see how he kind of progresses throughout the year as well.
Yeah, Yogi's looked fearless in those first two games. I think that's what stood out to me more than anything. And, you know, his defense, as you said, has been really good. And I've been impressed that he's not afraid to, you know, look for his own shot on offense either. He's done a great job of getting everyone involved. I think he's got a team-high 5 assists per game through two games. But, you know, he's also not afraid to shoot when he's open. And sometimes I think as a point guard, you're kind of worried about, you know, not hogging the ball and, you know, working it to everyone, especially with a deep team. But, you know, IU's offense is going to be so dangerous if all five guys on the floor are a threat to score. And, you know, that seems to be what they've got going. It used to be the past couple of years you could really focus on, you know, two guys on the floor and kind of let those other three guys get away with whatever they wanted. But now, you know, it's kind of a pick-your-poison situation. Greg, what about you?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think this team is also, I mean, going in, everyone said, oh, Indiana is a deep team. But they might be even deeper than people thought, or at least, you know, the 6, 7, 8 kind of guys on this bench are better than originally thought. I mean, Remy Abel not missing a shot so far. I mean, I know it's against kind of subpar competition, but, I mean, he's been a big surprise. Hollowell, I mean, he was, you know, a little further back on the depth chart, as we talked about, you know, a couple podcasts ago about, you know, we don't know what kind of minutes he's going to get, how he's going to transition to the college game. He's scoring double figures both games. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. And it's good just overall competition that you got guys, you know, deep into the bench still, you know, producing right now.
And the other thing, as Alex was saying, kind of is Cody showed a little bit of his ability to hit jumpers and everything, but he hasn't really unleashed that outside game, you know, that we've read about that he's been working on all offseason. You know, not his ball handling, you can tell every now and then he gets a rebound and, you know, he'll start a fast break on his own when someone isn't open. And he genuinely looks comfortable bringing the ball up the floor and handling it around the perimeter. But, you know, he knows that IU needs him down low, so he usually gets rid of it before he does anything up there. But, Alex, I mean, you've been at the first two games. Have you seen a lot from Cody on the perimeter, or do you think that's yet to come?
I mean, he's taken a couple of shots. I think there's more to come from that as he gets more comfortable doing it in the games. But just going back to his high school career, watching him for a couple of years at Washington, I went to a couple different high school games, and he would step out, occasionally knock down a three, and, you know, because he would have two or three guys hanging all over him. So,
the great thing about Zeller is that he's consistent every night. You know what you're going to get. The guy that's kind of questionable to me is Watford. I mean, he had 15 and 15 in the first game, then he only had 6 and 4 the next game, you know, 2 of 6 shooting from the floor. I mean, what do you make of Watford right now? I know, you know, maybe he just had an off night. He's been good in the past, but he's also, you know, that's kind of been his thing the last few years anyways. He's also been inconsistent there. What do you kind of make of Christian right now?
Well, it was interesting after the game, Crean was asked kind of about how Watford played and was asked if it was more of a psychological thing of getting up to play to the competition. And Crean didn't really want to talk about the reasons behind it, but he definitely said that, you know, it's been an ongoing thing with Watford finding that consistency. And the other night, I mean, he just didn't really look all that engaged in the game. And that's been kind of the story of his career for the past couple of years. I mean, he definitely has the ability to play well against best competition. I mean, he showed that in both Kentucky games last year, but finding the level of consistency is what's going to make Indiana an even better team from him, because they really need him to rebound at this point. I mean, given the fact that Derek Elston, Hunter Perea, and Peter Jerkin are all out for the next 9 games, I mean, they're really thin up front. So Zeller's definitely going into these games coming up next week at the Barclays Center. He's got to be a big part of what they're trying to do. So I think Crean made those comments about the consistency at this point just because that's the way it is, not to motivate Watford. I mean, this is Watford's fourth year. He's got to find it within himself to kind of, you know, give the same effort every game. And at this point, it's kind of beyond the, hey, let's motivate a young freshman to do this. It's, you know, he's a senior. He's got to step up.
Yeah, that's definitely always been his Achilles heel, is just, you know, playing so great one night, the next night you're just wondering, you know, what happened. And, you know, now he's got to deal with something new his senior year he hasn't had to deal with the last couple of years, is that he's not a focal point of the offense, or the focal point of the offense. I mean, there are a lot of guys he's competing with for shots, and, you know, some players can't really find their rhythm unless, you know, they're getting those shots and those touches. And you know, maybe him above anyone else, it's important for IU to get Christian involved early in the game just because he does have that tendency to disappear. But, you know, like you guys pointed out, the 9.5 rebounds through two games, that's promising. Obviously, that's a lot because of the first game. But if he dedicates himself on the glass, I think, you know, that would impress NBA scouts as much as anything he does this year. And, you know, that's in the back of his head of what do I have to do this year, you know, to go pro next year and get picked. So, you know, if I was Christian, I would really keep it up on the glass for IU's sake and his own sake. And, you know, try and adapt a little bit because he's not going to get 15 shots per game like he did get last year. There are going to be nights when he only gets six touches and, you know, or six shots, and it's up to him to maximize those opportunities.
And don't you think that's probably the biggest knock, that he's a soft player?
Yeah, and, you know, is he a three in the NBA? Is he a four? I think he's got to be a small forward. I can't imagine, you know, a guy with his frame playing four in the NBA. But, you know, if you're going to be a kind of biggish small forward, you've got to be able to rebound. You can't be a 6'9 small forward who doesn't do anything on the glass. And obviously he's got the perimeter game to play in the NBA, but he's going to have to, you know, establish himself as a guy who can play down low at the next level. And, you know, I'm sure that's exactly what Crean's telling him too. You know, we've seen Crean recruit so well. One of the things that he does well, I'm sure, is tell guys how he can position them to go to the NBA. So, you know, that's probably why Watford came back this year thinking, you know, coach is going to help me, you know, evolve and show the NBA scouts what I can do. And I think that his focus this year will probably be rebounding. And I think that's a good thing.
Don't get me wrong. He'd probably start on the Wizards right now.
He would be the focal point of the offense on the Wizards. Yeah. For people who don't know, Greg bet me that the Wizards will make the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure they're 0-5, 0-6 right now.
I felt pretty good going into last night's blowout loss to the Bobcats, so I'm not feeling good anymore.
Bose is just getting furious. We're talking about the NBA. We have to stop immediately.
Okay. Well, hey, Alex, quick question. You know, the first real competition is going to be next week in Brooklyn for the Legends Classic. I know they play Georgia, which, you know, they lost, but they are still, you know, an actual major conference team. And then they'll play either Georgetown or UCLA. What are you kind of looking forward to in that tournament?
I think these games maybe have lost a little bit of the luster that they may have had before the season, just because Georgia just got beat by Youngstown State. So they've got a really good player in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who a lot of people think could be a lottery pick after this year. But beyond that, not a whole lot else. And then UCLA, you've got Shabazz Muhammad, who's out indefinitely, I guess, with the NCAA deal. Kyle Anderson. Got hurt last night. We're not sure what kind of his status going forward is. And I believe, Greg, you might be able to speak to this, but didn't Otto Porter get hurt for Georgetown recently?
Yeah, he did. But I'm not sure. I don't know if he's going to be out that long. But he might be out for that game too. You're right. So all kind of the marquee players that we were looking forward to seeing go against IU, it might not even be there.
And then Indiana's got three guys out. So, I mean, I definitely think this is going to be two games they should win. The Georgia game, you know, it'll be somewhat of a test going up against a higher level of competition, but just kind of looking at the Pomeroy ratings, which I like to kind of go by to give me a sense of where a team's at going into the season. I think Georgia was 92 and North Dakota State was 105. So really, I guess a strong opponent. I think, the Georgetown UCLA, winner will provide a much different test, but, just given the talent on Indiana's team and their ability to score, I'm not sure that either one of those teams is going to be able to hang with Indiana, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think IU is going to be challenged by the atmosphere as much as anything. It'll be their first game for a lot of those guys playing away from Assembly Hall. Everyone's obviously going to be super excited to be playing in New York on national television. You know, I'm sure that's going to factor in a little bit as well. But you guys are right. These games aren't they don't quite have the same feel they did before the season. Now I think a lot of people are looking to that North Carolina game on November 27th. Are you happy, Alex, you know, that the Hoosiers are going to get to play these games up in New York before they play the Tar Heels? Do you think that that's going to help a lot?
It'll definitely help a lot. I mean, last year I thought going to Evansville was a big help for them season, actually. I mean,
yeah.
Looking back on that, you know, if we're having this conversation a year ago, all three of us probably would have called that game a toss-up going into. I mean, because just because we didn't know, you know, how they would play outside of the friendly environment of Assembly Hall, now they're expected to win. So this is definitely going to be a challenge for them. It's kind of a different they're in a different position than they were a year ago. I mean, even going down into the tournament last year, they were still kind of playing that underdog role that they kind of took on the whole season. Now that they're number one, you know, it's going to be different for them, kind of playing with pressure and the expectations. So it'll be interesting to see how they react to that for the first time in an environment that's not familiar to them.
It'll be a test, but I will say, though, that, you know, based on people I've talked to and things I've read, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 75% Indiana people at the arena. I mean, just especially because think about how many people are from the East Coast that went to Indiana. Georgia's far away, UCLA's far away, and Georgetown, you know, has a good fan base, but it's not as big. I mean, I'm sure they'll travel, but I think it's going to be a pretty Indiana crowd. That's just my guess, though.
That'll probably help. You know, I think we're officially going to have to call Sam Houston State a trap game now, considering how much we're focusing on these future games.
Oh yeah, I forgot about them.
Well, hey, Alex, you know, we're obviously excited for signing day, and we know Inside the Hall is going to be all over it. What kind of stuff are you guys going to be having the rest of the day?
We're going to try to get reaction from most of the guys who signed today. I believe there'll be some hoping to get a comment also from Noah Vonleh today. So I'm not sure that Indiana is going to address the class today, because typically in the past, the way these situations have happened, they don't talk about all the recruits until they have all the letters of intent in, and Troy Williams won't be signing until Monday. So I'm not sure we're going to get anything officially from Indiana, but we'll definitely try to check in with most of the guys that signed today and get their reaction. And I mean, signing day in basketball is a little bit different than football, because football, you've got kids switching schools on the last day and a lot more suspense with all these guys. You know, it's pretty much just a formality that they're going to sign the letter of intent. They've already talked about their commitments several times. So just want to get a little bit of reaction on how they're feeling now that they're actually a member of the program. And then we'll definitely also have some pregame coverage from the big tilt tomorrow with Sam Houston State. And
yeah, will you be in attendance for that one?
I will be in attendance.
Nice. Good to hear. And Greg, have a good trip up to Brooklyn. Obviously, we're going to have to be doing a little podcasting while you're up there. Hopefully, you can squeeze the show in while you're out in the big city.
Hopefully. Last year, if you remember, I was at a girls' dorm at NC State. So I don't know what lies ahead for me in New York, but we'll see.
You're used to playing in a road atmosphere.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, hey, everyone, thanks for listening to the show. Be sure to check back with Inside the Hall throughout today and this week for all of your signing day coverage and Sam Houston State analysis as well. I'm sure you guys are on the edge of your seat for that one. We'll be back next week, so be sure to check back with Inside the Hall again. Until then, for Greg Rosenstein and Alex Bozich, I'm Matt Dollinger. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.